Alice, Anna, and Sophia had asked if they could use the microphone when after everyone gets here. They want to use the microphone and say Happy Father's Day to everyone. But they went up to class earlier today before we started, and all the kids are already up there. So in honor of Alice, Anna, and Sophia, I'm going to say Happy Father's Day. They wanted to do that for all of you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Raise your hand if you had a father. It's kind of silly, isn't it? Barbara and I are going to team preach today. I want to spend a few minutes talking to you about your heavenly Father. And then she's going to be doing some things from a woman's standpoint on what a father should be. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, sir, we say Happy Father's Day to you, first of all, sir. Happy Father's Day. You are our most wonderful Father. And you are the perfect example of what a father should be. Help us, Lord, to pay more attention to who you are, what you are, how you are, and where you are, that we might know more about our Father. And Lord, we know that every father wants his children to take up the good aspects and characteristics of his life and carry them forward. And you, Father, having a father's heart, you want your children to pick up the nature and the characteristics that you have and carry them on. So we need to know more about you. And we ask in Jesus' precious name that we will see you, Lord, not just as God, but see you as Father. Amen. I did a really short study last night on God being called Father, and it just began to blow me away when I realized, especially in Jesus' teachings, it's like hundreds of times in Jesus' teachings, he called God his Father. And he also many, many, many times called God your Father and God our Father. And this is just, it's very important. Everyone has a name. Excuse Mike over here. He's real congenial and easy to use as an example. He's a man. He's a father. He's a grandfather. He's a husband. He's a carpenter. He's a cowboy. He's a welder. He's kind of one of these, you know, he's a Mike of all trades. He can do anything. And we could give him a lot of titles. But the children that are most intimate with him are going to call him what? Father or daddy or papi. You know, here in the Latin community, we hear papi. And in the English-speaking community, you hear dad or daddy. And now, I'm sure all of you are probably Hebrew scholars by now. And Greek scholars and all that. Well, you know, in those languages, in the Hebrew, they didn't say daddy. They said Abba. A-B-B-A, Abba. And Jesus called his Father Abba. Paul the Apostle said that we cry out to Abba, Father. And so we know that term can be used. Looking at it from the standpoint of the Latin culture, the formal is mi padre, and the informal or the familiar would be mi papi or mi papa. And so we have these various terms. You know, and God had many names. He had, you know, in the Old Testament, he was Lord, translated somewhat loosely as Jehovah. And he had many other names in the Old Testament. He had El Shaddai and El Elyon and El Elohim. and several more that I don't have off the top of my head right now. He had many titles and many names. But when we get to the New Testament, God became something so vivid and so clear that we need to pay attention to it, and that is he became Father. Now, he's always been Father to the human race. He's Father of creation. He was Father to the Old Testament. But this is really highlighted in the New Testament, especially by Jesus, and when Jesus just begins to call him Father, 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 Father. And this tells me that he wants to be called Father by us. I mean, how many prayers do I say, dear Lord God, in Jesus' name, la, 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 la. You know, oh Lord, no, 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 no. Oh God, you know. Well, these are all fine and dandy, but I think a more correct way to come to the Lord is Father. Paul the Apostle said in one place, he said, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And a better translation than that would be, pray to the Father in the name and nature of the Lord Jesus. You know, anybody can say in Jesus' name. The devil could say that. But if you come to the Father in the nature of Jesus, in the character of Jesus, in the personality of Jesus, in who Jesus is, when you come to the Father in that nature, he perks up and says, what do you want, son? Now, I'm not going to take you in your Bible to a whole bunch of scriptures because it would take longer than I want to spend with this. But in reference, you can write these down if you wish to look them up later. In Luke 2:49, Jesus was 12 years old, and his parents lost him. And while he was in this lost state, as you would, he was busy in the temple. And he was debating and teaching and being taught by the scribes and the elders of the day in the temple. And when his parents finally found him, you know, his mother was like any mother would be and say, son, where have you been? You know, we've been worried sick about you. He said, oh, mom, chill. You know, like, chill, mom. It's okay. I've been doing my father's job. I've been about my father's business. Well, you know, she had to meditate on that one, and she did for years to come. And she, better than anyone else on earth at that point, knew that God was his Father. And when he said, I've been about my Father's business, she's going, he's connected, still connected. He was connected. He came to me from the Father, and he's very connected yet to the Father. And he's already in the temple and in the Word of God doing his Father's business. And this must have been a real important meditation to her heart. And so Jesus at that point says, my Father. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 and down through 10, we have the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, you know, at least in some form, our Father who art in heaven, right? Well, in verse 8, Jesus starts out, he says, pray to your Father. Pray to your Father. And then in verse 9, he says, you know, in the example of the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. And so he's more than just Jesus' Father. He's your Father. According to the Lord Jesus, he's your Father. According to the Lord Jesus, he's our Father. And this is something we need to really take note of and pay a special respect towards. If Jesus is going to call God our Father, then he is. In Matthew 6:25 through 34, again we have in verse 26, he says, your Father. In verse 32, he says, your Father. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, his last prayer was, Father, I commit my hand and my spirit into your hands. And so we see here, you know, from his first prayers to his last prayers, he's addressing God as Father. And Just as a matter of reference, as I went through some of the study here, the book of John chapter 5, okay, in this one chapter of number 5, Jesus calls God his Father in verse 19, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 26, 30, 36, 37, 43, and 45. I mean, half of the chapter he said, Father, 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 Father. In John chapter 14, which is one of my favorite chapters in all the book, and there's 31 verses, and in verse 2, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 16, 20, 21, 23, 24, 26, 28, 31. 31 verses, and in 17 of these verses, he addresses the Father or speaks of the Father. Now, you know, you could go look at all the various teachings of Jesus, and you're going to see a parallel to this. You're going to see Jesus is calling God Father. Jesus is speaking of God as being your Father and our Father. This is something we need to really lay hold of and believe with all of our hearts. God's my Father. He's my Father. He's my Papi. He's my Daddy. Wow. I want to read this one to you. St. John 1:12. John 1:12 and 13. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, Jesus' name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, or they were born of the will of God. When you believe in Jesus, you have a divine legal right to call God as your Father, and you were actually born into his kingdom by your acceptance of Christ and all he has done for us. You become a child of God, that means he's your Father. I mean, any way you want to look at this, you're going to find fatherhood in God. And I have been challenged in my own heart and my own feelings on this. I've been challenged to make some corrections in my prayers, make some corrections in my addressing to the Lord. In my dressings, my petitions, my supplications, you know, to the Lord, to God. And it's like, I really believe if we'll start using the term Father more, we will come to a place of more intimacy with him and begin to pick up on more and more of his nature and his characteristics. Now, just think about that. Take that home with you. And I can say it like this. I believe that God would have all of us check up a little bit on how maybe we can adjust to a more intimate relationship with the Lord by using more intimacy in our vocabulary and in our words. Okay? So think about it. Put it into practice. And begin to see God as your Father. Now, this could carry down into a terrific teaching for those that would want to follow through with it. Because if God is your Father, that means you're going to inherit what he has. If God is your Father, that means that all that he has is designed by him to be a blessing to you. Everybody say, God has good things in store for me because he's my Father and I am his child. Amen. Now, I have a father who's, you know, most guys my age, their father's already passed on. But my father's 93 and still kicking. And I'm just, you know, I'm real proud of that. Happy for him. He's still living on his own. With mom's help, he lives on his own. And that's just the grace of God and the blessing of God that I would have a father of 93 years. And my father was a Christian most all of my life, all of my memory of life. And he was quite religious and still is. And he had some ways that were, well, they were different. But he always tried, to the best of his understanding, to raise me right. He was a good father. He's a good father. He's a giving father. He's a generous father. And in his own words, he says, "Son, I've made some mistakes and did some things I wish I had not have done. But I did my best with the information I had, did my best with the training and the teaching I had received. I tried with everything to do it right. I wanted to be a good father." And, you know, I respect that. At this day and time, I know and he knows that there were some mistakes made, but he was trying to do the right thing. And we need to say, "Okay, Dad, I give you the liberty and the freedom to make some mistakes. Just keep trying to be a good father, because that's what I need in my life." Now, we as fathers, you know, some of us, like me and Mitch, we're fathers. And we're going to make some mistakes raising our kids, too. But we can learn by our mistakes. We don't have to make it twice. You know, to make one mistake once, you know, that's one thing. But if you make the same mistake twice, it kind of moves you over into the realm of, "Hey, stupid, wake up." Amen? But I want to encourage you today, honor your father in the physical, biological sense, whether he's here or in heaven. Honor him, honor his name. Honor his reputation. Honor the legacy that he has left with you with. Honor your father. And most of all, honor your father, God, by moving him out of the realm of God somewhere up there in the untouchable realm. Move him out of that down into a place where you're embracing, "Oh, my sweet father, God, my sweet daddy. Oh, I love you, sir." You know, find that intimate place with your father. He's a man's man if there ever was a man's man. He is everything. But he's also hungry for the intimacy with his children that every father longs for. Amen? So anyway, I just wanted to share those things with you. Before Barbara comes, I want to give all the fathers a little gift. Would you let me do that? Nobody really, you know, going to object to this, I don't think. I want all of our fathers to just kind of march up here. Now, there's some boy toys in here, okay? And you can only have one. Now, if your child is born or if you have a child that's unborn, you're still a father. You qualify. And I want you to reach in. Now, there's small items here. And the small items, you know, you might pick up two or three by mistake. Well, turn loose of all of those, except you can only have one. Okay, you can just have one. So get one and draw it out, and I hope you get what you're looking for. Go ahead and just reach your hand in it. You can't look. It's not fair to peek. There you go. How about the ladies giving our fathers a big hand, huh? Come on, Michael. Yeah. Be careful. Just one, Peter. Now be real careful with these things. They are loaded. Be really, really careful. Be really, really careful. It's loaded. Be careful. Okay, you can look at. Did you get what you wanted? Yeah, is that what you wanted? Okay. That's what I wanted you to have. That's how you got it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Happy Father's Day, guys. And like I told Sandra a few minutes ago, I said Happy Father's Day to her, and she says, "I'm not a father." And I said, "Well, I say Merry Christmas. It's not your birthday." So, you know, you can say Happy Father's Day to everybody because it's a day that we honor the fathers, but we want everybody to have a happy day today. Amen. Happy Father's Day, babe.
Hallelujah. I've always thought it was so special that the God that created the whole universe, everything that is, the creator of all things, the Most High God, is my own sweet, dear Poppy. He's my daddy. You know, he has wide open arms, and he just tells me, sweetheart, just crawl up in my lap. I'll just give you anything you want. You know, that's my daddy God. He loves me. Hallelujah. He wants me. And I'm just amazed by that. You know, here he just, he's the creator. He made all that is. And yet he loves me in a personal way. And that's just so special. My daddy was a minister. He was on fire from God, loved the Lord. They were filled with the Spirit when I was just a little bitty girl. And so I had a lot of very close, special times with the Lord because my daddy loved God. One of the natural traits of my daddy that I loved the most was that he could come into any tense situation and make a joke and just break the whole mood. He could just break the anger, break the madness. And with us children, you know, we could just be in a fight and angry and fighting with each other. And he would come along and he would just say two or three things and we'd all be laughing and all of the tension was just broken. And my dad just had a way of him of using humor to break tension. And that was just a real special thing about my dad that I loved. And of course that he created a passion in me for God because of his passion for God. And that was real special. My grandpa Mason, his dad was a very gentle, quiet man, but so full of love and compassion. My other grandpa on my mom's side was Granddaddy Custer, and he was a rancher. And he had a big ranch in central New Mexico. He had three girls. He didn't have any sons. So all of his girls learned to work the ranch. And then when he had grandchildren, there were four granddaughters and only one grandson. So we had to get in and work the ranch too. And we would spend almost all summers there. A lot of our vacations from school, we would spend at the ranch. And we did Roundup and we branded the cows and we learned how to operate a ranch as girls. And those are special times to me. You know, I loved my time. It gave me an appreciation of the earth. And I know even my daddy always had a garden. He loved to have a garden in the summer. And now we always have a garden. Calvin plants it for me because I want one so bad. He plants it and gets it up, and then I pick it and take care of it. And it's just something that I love to do. And that came from my daddy, my granddaddy Custer. Those things were worked into me. I love the earth. You know, I'm before the sun comes up, when it's first light, I'm out in the garden. And the sun is usually just starting to come up when I'm through. But I just love to get down and pull weeds and pick the vegetables and just love the earth. And that was something that came from my fathers before me. And it just means a lot to me. I love it. And so anyway, it's just, I praise God for the godly men in my life that, you know, I am a product of who they were. You know, we're a product of our parents, the things we love and like. And, you know, so it's just, I honor those before me. Well, all through the week, I've had something stirring in my heart. I really believe we are in a time of change. We're in winds of change. You know, I believe in our country, we are definitely in times of change, and there's winds of change in our country. But I believe in the church world, God is taking his people to a new place. And when we're in change, and a lot of times in the Old Testament, it says he's taking us away we haven't been before. And when he takes us into new things, and the process of change is difficult for us as people. You know, we like routine. We like to know what we're doing and what we're going to be doing. And so times of change are hard on our flesh. And so we have to trust in God with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, and he will bring forth his will. He'll bring his will to pass. And so, but in times of change, the devil also knows there's better times coming. and there's victories coming. And so, you know, he's not happy for us to go on with God. And so he comes against us. And that's one of the things I want to talk about, is how we can watch and be aware of the enemy's tactics and cut off his attacks before they get there. Amen. You know, we've talked a lot about seed time and harvest. We have sown hundreds and thousands of tears for souls in Douglas. We have sowed a harvest for souls. And so, you know, they're going to come, because that's the process of seed time and harvest. But today I'm going to talk about watchman prayer and staying alert. Psalms 23, we're not going to read it. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Well, a table represents a place of nourishment, a place of peace. And so God, even in the midst of our enemies, he prepares a table where we can be fed, where we can be at peace. Hallelujah. And it's a place of rest and peace. And even though the enemy is about us, we have no fear, because God is caring for us. Hallelujah. And when we don't have any fear, the enemy doesn't have anything that he can attack us with. You know, when we don't have any fear of the devil, it just blows him, because when we have fear, it gives him an opening to come in. But when we're at peace and trusting in the Lord, he doesn't have a foothold to get a hold of. John 4:18 tells us that God's love, and there's no fear in love. All our actions come from one of two basic emotions, fear or love. When we're confident in the love of Jesus and know that he has won the battle, we don't have any fear. And so the enemy doesn't have any bait to get into us, because without fear, that's a bait to him where he can get in. But we know that God is love. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in our life. We're to keep our eyes on the Lord and his presence. Isaiah 62:6, we're going to look at this. All of my scriptures today are New King James Version, except one place I'll tell you where it's different. But it says, "I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent." And so I like to put it personal. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Faith Ministries Church, and they will never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. In the Old Testament, watchmen watched over cities, but they were also placed to watch over crops. Because when someone had a crop almost ready, the enemy wanted to destroy it. And so they would put a lot, right before harvest, they would always keep a watchman on the crops. But right before harvest, they would put a bunch of watchmen so that they would watch to make sure the enemy didn't come in and destroy their crops. Genesis 2:15, we're going to look at this. And it says, "Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it." Tend in Hebrews is adad. It means to care for, to work, to serve, to worship. And keep is the word shamar, which means guard, protect, watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. So it says the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to give the extended Hebrew meaning. He put man in the Garden of Eden to care for, to work, to serve, and to worship, and guard, protect, and watch piece by piece until God finishes the process. We all have a sphere of influence, our assignment from God. We have our family. We have our church. We have our city where we live. We have our nation. We have spheres of influence. Maybe your job is your sphere of influence. But we all have spheres of influence that we are to guard and protect and watch over. And one of those ways is to worship. Worship sets the right atmosphere in your sphere of influence. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. In the Amplified, it says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Don't give him a place. Let's look at Proverbs 4:23. And the word says, keep your heart with all diligence. Hallelujah. Wait, I'm going too fast. Did we have that one? No, okay. Anyway, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it's important that we guard over our own heart and make sure our own heart's right, because all of the issues of life flow out of our heart. 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11 says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven the one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So it's important that we continually forgive, that Satan doesn't take advantage of us. Amen. And advantage means to have or hold a greater portion. If we're guarding unforgiveness in our hearts, Satan's holding a greater portion within us. Hallelujah. So it's important, you know, to forgive and to turn loose, let things go. Let things go. Turn them loose. Let them go. It's important to live a life of forgiveness. Amen. We must deal with the enemies that's within us or tormenting us. It could be a stronghold of unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, lust, fear. We must ask for God's help, and we must command whatever it is to leave, because it doesn't have a place here. I belong to God, and this fear that I have has no place in me, and I command it to leave. Or whatever the enemy has tried to put upon us, we need to tell it to leave. And if we're having trouble getting rid of something in our heart that's not from God, we need our brothers and sisters' help. We need reinforcement. We need to call on each other. And then we're taught all through the Word, use the help of the body of Christ, of your brother and sisters, to get the victory. Okay, Ephesians 6, we're going to read 10 through 12 and then go down to verse 18. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Down to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to stay alert and watching. We need to be alert. You know, the Lord compares us to soldiers. Soldiers need to be alert of their surroundings and alert of the enemy that might be there. And we need to live that way because we do have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're going to read some ways that Satan tries to devour people. Satan has a strategy to hinder our communication with God and his family. If we lose our desire to pray, or if we become isolated from our church family, we have put ourselves in a place of danger. You know, think of the shepherd with the sheep. If the sheep gets away from the shepherd, he's susceptible to be attacked by coyotes and wolves and whatever else. It's important that we stay close in communication with the Lord and with his family. Amen. When prayer ceases and we pull away from a healthy spiritual support system, we become open to receive the lies of the enemy. We need God. We need to keep our communication with God up and with one another. Amen. Satan has a strategy to hurl darts of fear into our hearts. You know, when an illness is announced, oh, you have this or you have that, fear tries to come in. If we have financial thing, fear tries to come in. You know, all kinds of things can cause fear. We can be afraid of the unknown or afraid of the dark or afraid someone's going to break into our house. Fear can come in all kinds of ways, but fear is an enemy of Satan. Faith quickens, makes alive, and is active. Faith touches the unseen power of heaven. Faith has a contact with heaven. On the other hand, fear or unbelief shuts us down and it separates us from the spirit realm. So we need to get rid of fear if it's around. Satan has a strategy to bring division, offense, and confusion. The effectiveness of the body of Christ rests in the strength of unity. And this is why the devil tries to fight unity so much. We must settle in our hearts that we simply will not accept division. This includes keeping a tender heart, a forgiving spirit, and refusing the root of bitterness to take hold. Love drives out division and magnifies unity. Amen. Satan has a strategy to use betrayal to overwhelm you. When you're overwhelmed, you move from a state of advance to a state of resignation and retreat. And then Satan, the last one I have here, Satan has a strategy to oppose your advancement because your advancement means his defeat. When we advance in the things of the Lord, he is defeated, so he doesn't want us to advance because he wants to gain. He wants to win. Hallelujah. Protection from the attacks of the enemy are not automatic. God's plan is to alert us to Satan's tactics. We must be alert and watchful. If we are not alert and watchful, Satan will take advantage of us or get the bigger portion. Watchmen sound the alarm when they see someone coming. Is it a friend or enemy? Watchmen not only look for the bad, they look for the good. Is this a good news coming? God often opens people's eyes to see angels. You know, God tells us when a wave of his spirit is moving so that we'll be ready to catch it. You know, he tells us the good to get involved in. You know, he speaks to us. If we're listening to his voice, he'll speak to us. just like he did to Peter. And he said, cast your net on the other side, and he caught a great multitude of fish. We need to have our ears open to the Lord for the good things he has and for the plans that the enemy would have against us. We need to be listening and aware and alert. Hallelujah. Watchmen recognize, discern, pay attention, and listen. They are aware, alert, awake, and sober. Let's go to Ephesians 5:18. And it says, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Getting drunk dulls your senses. That's why so many depressed, awful people get drunk, because they want to dull their senses because they're so miserable. But being filled with the Spirit keeps you alert, and it also heals whatever uncomfortableness you have. It just, when you're in God's presence, it just makes everything right. Hallelujah. And so we need to be in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, because it keeps our attitudes right, and it keeps us alert to what the enemy would do, where we can stop him before he comes. Amen. Mark 14:38. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to watch and pray, pay attention, have our eyes open. Hallelujah. Don't sleep on the job. Shake off the days. You know, sometimes we can just get to where we're just walking around in a daze. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake off the daze and the cloudiness. Keep a clear heart. Keep a clarity in your heart. And we do that by staying in fellowship with the Lord, reading his word, spending time in prayer, fellowshipping with him, being filled with the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And it keeps us aware and alert of what's going on around us. James 4:7. Says, therefore, submit to God. Our victory over the enemy is directly dependent on our submission to God. And then it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist means to apply pressure again, exercise. The more we resist the devil, the stronger we are to resist him. Hallelujah. John 10:10. Says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This scripture is our dividing line of what's from the devil and what's from God. Is this situation killing, stealing, and destroying, or is it giving life and life more abundantly? That's our dividing line scripture to know whether to come against the enemy. We should never get comfortable with what the enemy sends. And sometimes we tend to do that. He'll send a sickness and we'll just kind of relax and learn to live with it. That is never right. If it's from the enemy, we need to continually stand against it and speak life, speak against it, command it to leave. It's our enemy. Hallelujah. Anything the enemy, anything that kills and steals and destroys is our enemy, and we should always fight against it. Resist it. Matthew 18:18-19 says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. I'm going to read a different translation that won't be on the board, but it's the Rue translation. Says, here's a part of the believer's inheritance. Remember, we're our Father's children. We have an inheritance. Here's a part of a believer's inheritance. Whatever you forbid, I'll forbid. All of heaven stands at attention, ready to back you up. But if you allow it, I have to allow it. Whatever decision you make, I'll back you up on it. So if we are allowing things that came from Satan in our life, God just has to stand back because we are allowing it. Hallelujah. But if we forbid it, he will back us up. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 22 through 23. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That third says, where it says, believes those things he says. In the Greek, that word is Lego. And that's where Lego toys came from, the Greek word Lego. They're building blocks. Our words are building blocks that frame where we live. We create our own picture by the building blocks of the words that we speak. So it's important to speak in accordance with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Nothing's too hard for God. By being in the Spirit, we can overcome the enemy's schemes. We must conquer. We are warriors. God doesn't let us get in any battle that we can't win with his help. Hallelujah. Worship will uncover strongholds of the enemy, and the presence of God will open gates for release of God's strategy for overcoming the enemy and entering into God's glory. Just awesome things happen when we lose ourselves in worship. Just awesome things happen in the Spirit because we touch God. In that place of worship, we touch God. Hallelujah. We touch the spirit realm. And things are born in us, the will of God. Things are brought to our understanding in times of worshiping God. We have the authority to administrate the business of heaven, which is God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus told us to pray. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. It's through the Spirit, not the flesh, that we gain the victory. Zechariah 4:6. Just the second half of the verse I'm going to read. And it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. It's not through our own understanding. It's not through our own strength, but it's through the Spirit that we win. It's through connecting with the Spirit of the living God that we're overcomers, that we have the victory, that we have the authority over Satan. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. And then down in verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, for the profit of all. God designed the body to function together. You know, and he gave 9 gifts of the Spirit. And in a body of believers, we need all 9 gifts of the Spirit operating. Hallelujah. We need them all operating because we need what's coming from our brother and sister to have what we need to be strong. Amen. You know, we need tongues and interpretation of tongues so we know what God is saying to us. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray out the will of God, but we need the interpretation so we, our mind, will know what the will of the God is. And prophecy is God speaking through man his will. So we know when prophecy comes forth, we know what God's thinking, what his heart is, what he wants. So we need the prophetic word of the Lord to come forth. We need discerning of spirits because, you know, and that doesn't mean just evil spirits. We need to discern when the presence of the Lord is here. We need to discern when angels are present. We need to discern the presence of the Lord in the place. And we also need to know evil spirits because we have authority over evil spirits, but if we don't know they're there, we don't know what to come against. But if the Lord shows us through the gift of discernment what evil spirit it is, we can command it to leave, and it has to leave. But we need to know. So we need that gift of discerning of spirits. So many times in Jesus' ministry, he would cast out an evil spirit and then he would heal the person. He cast out dumb spirits, deaf spirits. He cast out spirits of insane spirits. And a lot of times before he healed people, he would cast out an evil spirit that was causing that illness, crippling spirits. And he would command it to leave, and then the healing would flow and they would receive their healing. Hallelujah. And a lot of times when someone gets real out of sorts, there's an evil spirit behind it. And you need to know from the discerning of the spirit, what's triggering this person? What's behind that? And then when the Lord shows you or a member of our body, then you can speak against that spirit, command it to leave, and it has to go. Hallelujah. We need words of knowledge. Help us to know what we would never know on our own. But God knows it, and he wants to give us words of knowledge so that we know what's happening. He wants to give us words of wisdom which show us how to handle a situation, what to do. Hallelujah. You know, there's gifts of healing. There's miracles. There's faith. We need all of these gifts operating in our body. And we need one another because it says he gives gifts to each one. And so everyone has a gift, and the whole body needs that gift that they have. Or God wants everyone to learn to operate in the gift of the Spirit, because he said for each one, you know, he gave them to us as a body, and we need one another. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. Prophecies allows God to speak his will through us. Prophetic words are creative, changing power that have authority. Remember when Jesus spoke to the sea and said, peace be still? What happened? Still. Remember when Ezekiel prophesied to the dead dry bones and he said, bones, live. Live. And they begin to come together. Prophecy is creative force of Almighty God. The prophetic words have creative force behind them to bring forth the will and the purpose and the plan of God in a situation. Amen. We need to be aware of our position in God. We are his sons. We are his representatives on earth. We are his body. Hallelujah. He's in us. He's here. He wants to use us to be a blessing to this world and to help set the captives free. Amen. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, And what's the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated in him his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, far above all things. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Okay, he said he put all things under his feet, and then he said, we are the body. Well, where are the feet? They're on the body. And he has put all things under our feet. That's our position in Christ. And we do have the authority over, you know, there's not any principality or power or might or dominion that through Jesus Christ that we don't have authority over. Amen. Going on to Ephesians 2:6. It says, he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So positionally, we are seated with Christ. And that's in the spirit realm. You know, our mind may wander down here and we may get in the flesh, but in our spirit, as we connect to God, spiritually speaking, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. It's important to keep our focus on him and keep focused right. We're going to turn to Colossians 3 and read 1 through 3. But remember Peter when he was in the storm and he got out of the boat and he started walking on the water and then he looked at the waves and what happened? He started sinking. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus and our focus on him, we can walk on the water. We can walk in the supernatural. It's a matter of keeping our focus on the Lord. Okay, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If you then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with God. Well, that's where the battle comes in. Because the things of the earth tend to demand and want our attention. And we get to looking at the negative, and we get to looking at the problems. And we get to looking at all the things that's going on. And that's when we begin to sink, when we begin to look at the earthly things and have our eyes on the earthly things. But as long as we keep our attention focused on Jesus, hallelujah, he will give us the victory over all these things. Keep your focus set on Jesus. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, but live in response to light. Don't deny that there's a problem, but don't give that problem a place of influence in your life. Joshua 1, we're going to read verse 2 and 3 and then 5 and 9. My servant Moses is dead. This is God talking to Joshua. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I give to them, to the sons of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said to Moses. I'm going to stop and do a commercial right here. The Lord said, go, and every place you put your feet, I'll give it to you. And we just last Sunday night, on the second, fourth Sundays, we've started we used to have a prayer time here and a praise time, but we've started going out to the streets and going out to Douglas. We prayed last Sunday night at 10th Street Park, and we're going to be going somewhere different every week as the Lord leads us. But what we're doing is going out into the community, and we're putting our feet down in the name of the Lord. And he said, wherever you put your feet, I'll give you. Hallelujah. We're claiming that position for the Lord. Calvin and I, years ago, had some awesome experiences, and I just got to do some testimonies. But the Lord sent us on a journey down into the Navajo area and all of that region, and it was before Bobby had moved down there. He said, go and pray at different towns and put your feet down. Walk and put your feet down in my name if I lead you to do that. And so we just went from one little town to another. Some places we'd drive through and we just felt nothing. We just felt like this isn't our assignment. This isn't ours. We'd drive on through. But a lot of places, a lot of little pueblos, we went and we got out and we walked. And there in those little towns, there at the time, there was no Christians. There was no Christian churches. But we would walk and we would say, on that day, before God's throne, there's going to be people in this town that are standing before the throne of God. That this town belongs to God. We're putting our feet down in His name right now because this town belongs to God. And there's going to be people in that day before the throne of God from this town, from this place. Well, then Bobby moved down there, and he began to go out to a lot of these little towns and preach at them. And one day he wrote me, it was on my birthday exactly, he said, we went to a little town up in the mountains, and it was obviously a drug town, drug dealing town. You could just see the signs everywhere. And he said, we did a service there, and everybody that came to that service, which was almost the whole town, every one of them received Jesus as their Savior. He said, it was the easiest thing I ever did. It was so easy. And the Lord says, it's because your mom paved the way in prayer. She prepared the ground before you. And he went to a lot of places where he went to a lot of little towns that he went to this one little town where they had been growing marijuana for many years. It was their little town's income. It's what they had been doing. And the government came in and they burned out their crop and the people were starving. They didn't have their harvest money and they hadn't planted food, so they were starving. And Bobby got a call. We were down in Navajo and he got the call, and they said, a lady that was in his Bible school had a cousin up there, and she said, we're starving. We're hungry. And so Bobby says, we'll be up there this weekend. And we were heading home, but we went to the Abastos before we left, and we bought a pickup load of food, beans and potatoes and flour and oil and all kinds of basic foods, a whole pickup load of food. And we sent it with Bobby, and they spent 2 days there. And everyone came to their service, and everyone that came were born again. And they started planting food crops. And now this same little pueblo is evangelizing 3 more pueblos around it that were drug-growing pueblos. You know, there's power when you put your feet down in the name of Jesus. And sometimes you see immediate results, and sometimes it's a long time, but it works. Hallelujah. Commercial's over. Going on, we're in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you in all the places that you go. So when God sends us to do something, there's no room for fear or being dismayed, because we are going in the name of the Lord, and we have authority and we have power, and He's going with us. The children of Israel, they didn't take the whole land in a very short time. They took one city at a time. And every city that they went to, when they listened to the Lord and obeyed what he told them to do, they took the city. Every time they got in disobedience and God told them to do something and they didn't do it, they lost and had people killed. And so as we go forth, it's important to be aware of the voice of the Lord, to do what he tells us to do, and to not get in the flesh, but to do what he said. Hallelujah. And he will bless us. Amen. Hallelujah. As we enter into a battle, it's important to know the power of our weapons. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds." So the weapons that God puts in our hand, the weapons of the Spirit, are strong and powerful, and they pull down strongholds. But it's not with our flesh we fight, it's through the Spirit. Then Revelation 12:11. And it's talking about Satan here, and it says, "And they overcame him," which was Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." In other words, they laid down themselves. Whatever God said to do, they did it. Hallelujah. And our lives are really an offering to the Lord. And I, you know, we've been in dangerous places. Mark Bowling goes into dangerous places all the time and has a great victory. And Mark has said a lot of times, "Well, what's the worst they can do? Kill you and send you to heaven? How bad is that?" You know, so it's like when we decide to follow God, we say, "Okay, God, here I am. I'll do what you say to do." Hallelujah. I'll follow you. I'll obey you. Hallelujah. And the word of our testimony is powerful. The blood of Jesus over us is powerful. There's mighty power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And then the last scripture I'm going to read is from 2 Timothy 4:7. And this was, he said, "I have fought a good fight." This Paul that said this after 35 years of ministry. And he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." It's important to never get in fear, to keep the faith. And a good fight is a fight you win. You know, if you two guys can get in the fight, and one of them will go away saying, "Boy, that was a good fight. I won." And the other one was like, "Oh, it was a bad fight. I lost." You know, but a good fight, he said, "I fought a good fight." And a good fight is a fight we win, and we win by the power of Christ. When we're fighting in his strength and in his blood and in his name, we can't lose. Amen? We've got the victory. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand to our feet and go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for this people. We thank you that your word is working mightily in us. We thank you for the power of your word, for the power of the Spirit that works in us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. We come to you. We come to you and surrender to you, Lord. What would you have? What do you want? Lord, I'm yours. I give myself to you. I yield my heart to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If any of you have been fighting a battle that you're having a hard time with, and it can just be a battle of the mind, a battle of hurt being there, a battle of sickness, or, you know, the enemy comes in so many different ways. And if you're having a battle with something that just seems bigger than you, we would like to pray with you. Hallelujah. And help hold up your hands and fight that victory battle with you, that you have victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your victory. Thank you, Father, for your victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you'd like prayer of agreement for anything, we're here to pray with you. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for a spirit of might in the presence of the Lord to be mighty in this people. In the name of Jesus, we release the gifts of the Spirit to flow in this body of believers. We loose the angels to work in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that there are angels about us, all about us, about this town. Father, we thank you that the heavenly host is here fighting in our behalf. We thank you for it, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, dia lere ai shon da la dia lere on da la dia lili lio rabashi. On da dia lili lio on da la dia lere on da la dia lolo lo dia lili ai la dia. Thank you, Lord, for the winds of change. Thank you, Lord. Oh, talaraya lidiyamundanaya she. Father, I thank you that, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I want everyone to just put your hands up to the Lord. Raise your hands to the Lord and say, Father, I know that you have gifts for me. You have blessings for me. And Lord, I just open my hands to you to receive the good things that you have for my life. I thank you, Father. I give you my life, my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. I surrender to you, Lord. And I put my hands open to receive the blessings of heaven and the blessings of the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit that you would choose to put into my hands to use for your glory. Father, the good gifts we receive from you today, Lord. We receive your gifts. Father, I thank you. We lose the gifts of the Spirit in this people. We release the gift of prophecy, of tongues and interpretation of tongues. We loose, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. We loose gifts of healing and miracles and faith. Oh, that we will be active in your body and your gifts. Father, I thank you that this people will go out full of you to be a blessing in all of their spheres of influence, to know you, Lord, to know you and to listen to your voice. Father, we ask that you do great exploits and great things through this group of people that are surrendering to you right now, Lord. We just thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Do you have anything? Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this congregation. We thank you for your blessings upon them. And we just ask that they be a blessing everywhere they go this week, that they be a shining light and a blessing, and that your presence will flow out to them, your love will flow out to them in their spheres of influence, in their homes, at work, Lord, everywhere they go, that they may be a blessing. And we just thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. And the Lord bless you.